I have this weird little habit. I like to read out of a Bible. Our gospel for today is the gospel according to Matthew chapter 22, and it's the first part of it. It's called the parable of the wedding banquet. Kind of an odd little parable. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been involved in the wedding to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent his other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatted calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace to you and peace from our God and from our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Well, this is a difficult week for all of us in the world. A very difficult week. We look at what is going on in our world and we shudder. Well, today we're going to talk about God and about black tie events, about wedding, about white gowns and what the significance of them is, hoping to get some understanding of this crazy world we live in. We've all heard about the black tie event, the long formal dress events. But probably none of us thinks that we've ever been invited to a white gown event like Elijah thinks he was. Especially men, right? Men don't wear white gowns, at least in the United States. Wrong. Every single Sunday that we come here, we don a white robe. It may be invisible. It may be invisible. Mine's not, but yours is probably invisible. It's the robe of righteousness in Christ, because you have declared today by coming here, you are one of God's, one of Jesus' followers. Not our own robe, though. We have borrowed it today. We have borrowed it from the one of those spiritual closets full of white flowing gowns for a banquet with Jesus. Now, the first Sunday of the month, we celebrate a real banquet with Jesus with communion. And that's kind of where we're going today with Jesus' wedding guests. And yes, occasionally we get concrete reminders, don't we, of that special gown and that very precious invitation that goes with it. We can take it seriously, or we can do like the people in the gospel for today did, laugh about it. You more than likely have worn one of these Jesus invisible dress-up outfits. It's that white flowing gown we place on an infant, like Elijah was trying to show us, that baptism into Christ in the church. Some churches have little children wear white gowns also, or dresses, or suits, for their first experience of that big banquet, that Eucharist, meaning Thanksgiving, at the table. All these white gown affairs lead to the affirmation of our faith when we get old enough, in our church anyway, called confirmation. And there again, many churches, most churches, wear white gowns. You say, well, what about weddings? Yeah, usually there's a white gown, isn't there? They are white gowns, and I actually like to see the groom in a white suit. doesn't happen very often. More often, the wedding is white for purity of the bride before she marries and has many pagan rituals attached to it. Pastors have a hard time sometimes with weddings, well, with the chaos that goes with it sometimes, with people wanting different things. But one is that has always bothered me was the one where the father gives the bride away, gives the bride away. He walks down the aisle and hands her over to the groom, kind of like property. That is still extremely common. Almost all weddings do that, because they don't know the history of the pagan ritual in it. If that is not dreamed up by the bride since she was very little, the Ken and Barbie wedding, I sometimes am able to get them to see that procession down the aisle, that march down the aisle, as religious, as being in the church, as being people of God equally. And I sometimes get them, I actually get them to bring the mom and the dad down the aisle, both of them, if they have moms and dads, by their side. And sometimes I even get both couples with their parents to come down the aisle, because it's a gathering, it's not a giving away of anybody, it's a gathering of two families coming together in love to make a larger, loving family. But most of the time, the pagan ritual prevails, because people have never heard of it, heard of another way, and have grown up that way. It's hard to break a tradition with a faith ritual, unfortunately. I find that true anyway. Think about funerals, though, and memorial services. Is there a white gown in that? Mm-hmm. There is. Think about the Holy Communion banquet. Is there a white gown? Mm-hmm. They are final feasts at preparing us to enter eternal life. Even this one prepares us for entering eternal life. We say heaven can wait, but we do prepare, don't we? We do prepare for heaven. Some do not take it seriously, though. Just as in our gospel for today, some just laugh it off and go their way. Some take it very seriously and want to be part of that procession of Jesus. Some churches, the churches that I've been in, have always laid a white pall or a blanket, the white pall on the casket. And why is that important? Well, it symbolizes the pall that Jesus had over his body at that great ultimate death of his and rising to new life. Jesus' bread is often covered with fair linen as also a symbol of that. So we have it all over in the church, all these symbols of Christ's righteousness and that banquet we are preparing for. I grew up in a church that focused on the white pall banquet for everything. All these are part of the robe of righteousness in the church, and I love that ritual. With a funeral pall, no matter who the, and this is really important, no matter who the person is, that person gets equal treatment. That person gets that white pall. Doesn't matter who they are. It goes over the plain old wooden casket, and it goes over the most fancy $20,000 casket. It covers it and says, I am a child of God, and I am robed in righteousness. Now, some people disagree with this, but the American flag is actually reserved for the world. As the body or the urn, over 50% of funerals now are urns. They're not the body, the full body. Over 50, it's probably over 60. I talked to a funeral director the other day, and he said that it's heading up 60-70% most. The church and the graveside, while Christ's robe of righteousness is reserved for God's universal home, the church, we have a standing invitation to these white robe or white gown affairs, just like the guests in the parable of the wedding banquet. This is an odd little parable, isn't it? Kind of a nasty little parable toward the end. You would think we were in Gaza. We all have seen and joked about, you know, those signs, no shirt, no shoes, no entry. Well, my daughter's often joked about someone from a foreign country coming here and saying, I wonder if anyone takes that literally and takes everything off except their shirt and shoes. I said, I never thought about that. Some places, even during COVID, added no mask, no entry. It must have been a nightmare for banks having a mask. In today's parable, with God the host, you and I are invited to life-changing banquet. If you don't take it seriously and come, you miss the opportunity for great joy here and hereafter. Just as in the parable, many today take this invitation lightly and ignore it altogether. They kill prophets. We know all about this in our world. Those messengers with their words and deeds, a rejection of heaven outright. Why? Because this party seems too good to be true. You are invited to a party of a lifetime, of eternal lifetime, with no Christian Dior or Vera Wang fashion to wear. The host God is even willing to pay for your new digs and give you an outfit. Too good to be true, right? That's what the little parable is about. God hosting this, slaves going out and trying to get people to come to this party. Just like the white gown, that white pall, which is really a symbol of gown, over a casket, all being equal. I have a friend who keeps track of everything she does for me. Maybe you have one of these. Like a score sheet. And I also, everything I do for her. It has to be balanced. Well, I don't care if I treat her to a meal as a gift without a return gesture. That's what a gift is. She refuses to accept it. Just like people refuse to accept the banquet in today's gospel. So I can never really give her a true gift. God is giving us a gift today, something that needs nothing back like Jesus offered today. Today's parable is pure, free gift of grace. People don't believe it. That isn't the way the world works. They refuse the invitation. As in life, they think it is too good to be true. Then there are those standing on the street in poverty, literally and spiritually. The King God pulls them in and goes as far as finding proper attire for them. We know people today who come to church to be scolded. I worked in a church like that because they didn't follow the straight and narrow. They didn't do enough to earn God's grace. That was Martin Luther's whole dilemma 500 and some years ago, till he read Romans 1:17, and that being saved by grace through faith thing. Nothing purchased, nothing we have to do other than believe. But some are skeptical and think nothing is free, full of nothing is given to us, not even God's holy place. When I started as a pastor at St. John's Lutheran in Eau Claire many years ago, one of the parishioners said to me every time I preached, we had three pastors, so I preached every third week, he'd come up to me and say, I didn't see any smoke coming from the pulpit. Well, as this went by on for weeks and weeks, I thought it was a criticism. I was the new kid on the block, and I was the first woman they'd ever had. But it turned out to be a compliment. This man was very wise, an elderly man in our church, because it was fairly new to the church to hear good news, the gospel, not law all the time. He eventually called on me to do his daughter's memorial service on All Saints Day, November 1st. And guess what? He wanted to make sure that the urn that he had, there's another whole story that goes with this, that he got only half the ashes. There's another whole story there. But he wanted a small white pall over that urn at graveside in St. John's Cemetery. She was dressed for God's banquet the way he wanted it. Missing the banquet or not preaching God's loving invitation to grace is missing the bridegroom and his extending a robe of righteousness to each one of us, forgiveness and salvation. He has paid for it. He has paid for this new outfit, like a baptismal gown, a burial gown, known as a pall, robe of righteousness, all paid in advance. There are churches who have what they boldly call closed communion. You perhaps, I belong to one of those. First church I belong to. No, nothing's free there. How anti this gospel lesson that is, closed communion. In other words, only certain people can come by invitation if they are good enough and tell you that they are good enough according to human rules. Even Pope Francis nowadays is opposed to this take on the great feast. He says everybody is welcome. Pope Francis. He believes in what we call open communion as we have here. So what is this robe of righteousness really? It is coming to know God's love, and God loves you unconditionally. Your invisible or visible robe, like I have, is always hanging there in the banquet hall. You cannot and are not asked to match the gift. Keep a scorecard. It is pure gift, pure grace. Those who are invited to today's parable banquet discover when the window of opportunity was opened, they had closed the shade. They did not go. They did not accept the free gift of grace and party with God. We see that rejection today too. Many have rejected the hosts who have prepared a meal differently, sang differently, danced differently, who came to understand Christ and God in their lives differently. This past week was Indigenous Peoples Day. I hate it that they have Indigenous Peoples, Columbus, and another day all on the same day. But we do. But Indigenous Peoples Day is something that we just started celebrating, and we've had Indigenous people here before we arrived. Finally, we have come to understand their value in this world. Those first Americans saw the whole earth relationship with God differently. They lived by grace, and they still do, and believe they are always part of that party that surrounds them. The party that surrounds them is Mother Earth, Father Sky, Brother River, Sister Moon. They wear moccasins or go barefoot often when they're dances to feel the ground beneath them. White Europeans tend to separate themselves from Earth. I have a daughter, my older daughter, who was a dance major, spent 4 years learning flamenco and all the different ethnic dances. Well, I brought her to a global studies class here in Chippewa Falls at Lakeland University, where I taught. She explained that in dancing, again, Europeans tend to leave the ground, spring high, like ballet or Dancing with the Stars. In contrast, natives tend to have their feet planted on the ground almost continuously, heel coming up and down while the ball of the foot is planted. The same is true of their dwellings, which often we mock. Europeans build houses to keep natural elements and critters out. Natives' tradition shares with the earth and natural vegetation. Different thinking that we have to come up with. Not understood, and it often leads to self-righteousness, not righteousness in Christ. Labels of judgment like uncivilized arise with such thinking. Then there is the ignoring the banquet altogether. We all know the word Hamas today. Hamas is a word we all know. For a week and one day ago, yesterday, Hamas inflicted terror, torture, and death on hundreds of Israeli citizens in a surprise attack. Now, I know the Israelis have done some things too, but no one deserves what was done to these people. Two religions different than Christianity, but still with an understanding of God's robe of righteousness, of love and peace and forgiveness. One, the people of Israel have accepted the gift to enter that faith banquet. The other, a terrorist group within the Palestinian community, the Palestinians are not the terrorists, hanging out with innocent Palestinians in a very small country. The powder keg blew again with those unaccepting peace and love. Those who would instill the opposite into this world, pure evil, as our president called it, pure evil entering the peaceful banquet, ironically killing so many young people at what? A peace concert at sunrise. What irony, a peace concert at sunrise to bring peace to this world, and they were killed in such a vicious way. I'm having a hard time coping with this, and I'm sure you are. Some few were taken hostage to use in a deadly game of pawns. We do not know where this terrorism will end. And it won't end soon, obviously, now that Hezbollah has entered. But we do know this. We do know this today, after this horrific week, that God calls us equally to the heavenly banquet, no matter what our religion is, no matter who we are all invited equally. There will be those who refuse this invitation and think they have the right to extinguish a different kind of life. We are seeing it lived out this month, and it will continue for some time, not only in Israel, but let us not forget Ukraine. Somehow the news media have totally forgotten Ukraine, where again, another country has invaded and taken away their rights and their love of land and living and peace. As we celebrate this day, let us celebrate Christ coming to us in new ways. With spiritual white robes, Jesus' people hit the streets and invite everyone to this grace banquet. And how do you invite them? You invite them by doing deeds of kindness, love, food, clothing, like we have here at this church. We give food to those people who are unhoused or needing food. We serve in God's love and offer a banquet at this very church. God provides everything, including the white robe of righteousness, through Christ's crosswork. Crosswork, whether visible like mine or invisible and more powerful at God's banquet. We each, one of us, is called to these, I call them bursts of resurrection here on earth. How are we receiving that banquet invitation? Let us be bursting forth with our resurrection deeds of love, compassion, and acceptance of all peoples. It's an easy answer, I know, in a tough, tough world. But if we at least try, maybe some of it will break through in this world. Maybe some of the people will hear God's love for each one and God's grace. That is Jesus' banquet attire, righteousness in Christ, and a place of peace, a peace, place of love for all God's creation, no matter where they are or who they are. Amen.